Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Page 1202 in your Scofield Bible, beginning with verse 28. We'll read responsively through the 31st verse. Once more, Romans 8, verses 28 through 31, and page 1202 in your Scofield Bible. And shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege of once again assembling with the membership of this great church. We're aware that some of our members cannot be with us, and some just need Your very special closeness and touch during these days of sickness or suffering. And we pray that You'd bless those of us who are here, help us to carry something away that will be helpful as we live another week out in the world, among those who are in the world, working at various capacities and doing the things that have to do with keeping our lives on track for Thee while living a life that's outside this church. We're glad we can come here from time to time. We're glad we can get our batteries charged, our lives fortified with things from Thy Word. Thank You for Your graciousness and Your goodness and help and protect us throughout the coming week. Thank You for our preacher especially, and thank You for the privilege of hearing him once again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The message tonight basically was given by me to a person in a distant state, not in its entirety, but the arguments that I'm going to present tonight, presented to someone who very vociferously argued that a person can be saved and then lose his salvation. As you know, there is what we call the Arminian theory, people that say that you can be saved and you can lose it, and for various reasons. Some say that you can lose your faith. Others say that you can do some things that would cause you to lose it. On the other hand, there's the Calvinistic theory, our doctrine, which says that once you have received Christ, He takes care of the work, and He does all the work, and what He does, He does not recant, He never changes, and that a person, once he's saved, is saved forever. I'm going to present to you tonight the greatest argument, as I presented to a person in a distant state, the greatest argument, I believe, for the fact that a person, once he has received Christ, he is saved forever, and there's nothing he can do to lose that salvation. All depends on who does it. If you do the saving, or if the church does the saving, or if the Pope does the saving, or if the denomination does the saving, or if the ordinance do the saving, then it can be changed. But if Jesus does it, He does everything right and does it well. And I want to talk to you tonight on the fact that the title of my message is simply The Security of the Believer. Father, as I speak tonight on this subject, I do not know how many years it's been since I preached on this subject, but I come tonight, I pray You to help me as I do to do it justice. this wonderful, wonderful truth that if I'm a child of God, I'm always a child of God, a child He'll never disown. Help me as I speak and us as we hear, and may we rejoice in our position in Christ. Amen. Of course, the argument of John 6:37 is enough. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's all I mean. That takes care of it. That settles it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will for no reason cast him out. That means if I misbehave, he won't cast me out. That means if I disappoint him, he won't cast me out. He said, I will in no wise cast out. Of course, there's the great passage in John 10:28-29. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you hear that? That means that I'm held in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, and you'll have to get me out of his hands, the omnipotent Christ, if you get me unsaved. But just in case that worries you a little bit, the next verse says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. So Jesus holds me there, and the Father holds me there, and I am secure, and that's enough. I guess we could close the service right now. We'll not do so, but I guess we could close the service right now and say that settles it. I've given you two definite reasons why, if you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. Well, you sever the house. What person lives real bad? Well, you don't get saved by living real good, so you don't get lost by living real bad. Well, of course, we could use that marvelous passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where it says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, when something is sealed, that takes care of it. Only the owner can break the seal, and since he owns me, he'll break the seal one day when I see him and give me a body like his, but I am sealed unto the day of redemption. And, of course, there's that amazing passage in Ephesians. I love this one, Ephesians 1:14, which tells me that when I got saved, God put a down payment on my home in heaven, on my salvation, and that down payment was the Holy Spirit himself. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our earnest. That means if I lose my salvation, God loses his down payment, and the Trinity is all busted up, and there's no God at all, and everything's going to fall apart. I'm trying to tell you tonight that God placed a down payment on my salvation, and that down payment was the Holy Spirit. And you can rest assured that God will finish what he started, and unto that day, the Bible says. And, of course, there's the argument against which there is no refutation, where it says we're born again, and you can't unborn anything. I'm the son of Willis Appy Hiles and Costa Matty Hiles, and I can't do anything about it. I don't care what I do, I'm still their son. And I don't care what I do, I'm still a son of God. I didn't get saved because I live good, and I don't get saved because I live bad. I get saved by his grace. I'm kept saved by his grace. And, of course, there's the argument of Jude 24. Now, unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless both the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means he is able to keep me from falling, and that's enough argument. And, of course, there's Jude 1 that says, I am preserved in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep or guard that which I have committed or deposited unto him against that day. Ah, my soul, many years ago, how many years ago was it now? 62 years ago, I went down and made a deposit at the Bank of Heaven and put my soul there. And the Bible says he'll walk guard and he'll keep that which I deposited unto him against that day. And, of course, there's that amazing passage in John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Didn't say he'll have everlasting life when he dies. It says he hath everlasting life. Didn't say someday at the judgment he'll get everlasting life. It says he hath everlasting life. And it goes on to say, and shall not come into condemnation. That word condemnation means judgment. I'll never stand before God to be judged because my Bible says that I shall not come into condemnation. You see, I have heard his words. I believed on him. I have everlasting life. And I shall not come into condemnation, which leads me to the wonderful passage in Romans 8:1. where it simply says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? It means that Jesus suffered my penalty for me. He stood before the great white throne judgment for me and took care of that. All I do is trust Him as my Savior, and I shall not come into condemnation. I said, I shall not come into condemnation. Heard a Baptist preacher say a few years ago that someday we're going to stand before God and all of our sins are going to be brought before us. Well, bless your pea-picking heart, God's already forgotten all of my sins. He doesn't even remember my sins. He's already blotted them all out. He can't see them. They're not in His record book anymore. Somebody said there's going to be a great movie projector and going to show your entire life. I'm not going to that movie. And neither do you want to go to yours either. Oh, no, 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 no. My Bible said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest say, yeah, that's good enough for me. Hey, I'm going to live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Now, all of these are wonderful arguments and irrefutable arguments about the security of the believer, but they're not the best one. Let me share with you tonight the best argument about, shall we use the term, once saved, always saved? Let me give you a few things tonight. Number one, God foreknew me before the foundation of the world. The Bible said, whom He foreknew. That means before there was ever a world, God foreknew me, and God knew me and loved me before I was ever born. He knew I would be born, and He knew what I would be like, and He knew me and foreknew me before the foundation of the world. He loved me. Before the sun became the czar of the day, God knew me and loved me. He looked down through His prophetic telescope, and He saw a little boy named Jack Frazier Hiles. He saw me and loved me before there was ever a world. Before the moon became the pharaoh of the night, God loved me. And before the day, the dry land surfaced from a watery world, or the sky was air unfurled, God loved me and knew me. Did you know God didn't look down one day and say, I wonder who He is? I think I'll love Him. No, 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 no. The great omniscient God of eternity knew you before there was ever a world and loved you before there was ever a world. Before the lowing of the first oxen, God loved me. Before the bleating of the first lamb or ram, God loved me. Before the roar of the first lion, God loved me. Before the first flight of a fowl, God loved me. Before the resurrection of the first plant, God loved me. Before the bloom of the first tulip, God loved me. Before the pouring of the first pond, God loved me. Before the carving of the first gorge, God loved me. Before the emerald of the first meadow, God loved me. Before the topaz tint of the first sunset, God loved me. And by the way, He loved you too. I said He loved you too. God didn't start loving you when your mama heard the doctor say, it's a boy or it's a girl. God didn't start loving you then. God knew you would live. God saw you before the world was ever founded. And God loved you and God knew you. God, before the sun answered its first reveille or played its first taps, God knew you and loved you. Before the first raindrop rushed earthward, or the first snowflake tiptoed toward the earth, God loved you. Before the clouds umbrellaed the earth, or the rainfall had its birth, God loved you. Before the chirp of the first bird, or the first song they sang was heard, God loved you. Before the promotion of the first mountain, or the flowing of the first fountain, God loved you. Before the aroma of the first gardenia, God loved you. Before the cooing of the first dove, or the feeling of the first love, God loved me. I don't know anything better than that. I have no better news to tell you than that. God didn't one day decide to love you because of what you are. God loved you always because of what He is. Before earth's pier holes were dug, God loved me.
before the twinkle of the first star, of the singing of the first bar, God loved me. Before earth's foundations were laid, before there was a need for time, when there was no was or will be, when everything was I am, and every creature was an I am, and everything was an it is, God loved me. Before there was ever a tear, before there was ever a fear, before there was ever a cheer, God loved me. Hey, are you listening to me? I'm saying the eternal, never-changing, omnipotent God, the I am God. There never was a time when God didn't love you, and there never was a time when God did not know of your existence. Before there was ever a night, or a fright, or a blight, or a plight, or light, God loved you. Before there was ever sighing, or crying, or dying, or lying, or flying, God loved you. Before there was ever rain or pain or one slain, God loved you. Before there was badness or sadness or madness, God loved you. Before there was weeping or sleeping, God loved you. Before there was a cloud or a shroud, God loved you. Before there was perspiration, expiration, or degradation, God loved you. Before there was a steepled pine, God loves you. Before there was a royal palm or an oozing balm, God loved you. Before there was a giant oak or a diminutive bramble, God loved you. Before the rose was sprayed with fragrance, God loved you. Before there was a redwood or a dogwood or a hardwood, God loved you. Before the erection of a pine or the clinging of a vine, God loved you. Before the first constellation was made or earth's foundations were laid, God knew you and God loved you. This thing of salvation is not something that God looked down and said, boy, that guy, he's living pretty good. I think I'll take him to heaven. The first place, nobody lives pretty good. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. And if you don't deserve to get it, you can't deserve to lose it. Now let me go further. Not only before there was ever a world, before the foundations were laid, before there was ever a star, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever a fish in the sea, a bird in the air, a beast to roam the field, God knew you and God loved you. But not only that, before the foundation of the world, God saw me. He looked down and God saw me, a little boy, not quite 11 years of age, a few weeks from 11, at 3936 Denley Drive in Dallas, Texas. God saw my mother and I leave the house and get on the Trinity Heights streetcar and go downtown Dallas to meet my father on a Saturday night, where my father promised to meet us and buy me a cheeseburger, my alcoholic father. My mother and I sat there on a bench on the corner of Commerce and Harwood Street in Dallas, Texas. We got there about 8 o'clock. We sat there till 8:30. We sat there till 9. Daddy never showed up. And God saw us sitting there. And we sat there till 9:30. And 10, and 10:30, 11, 11:30. And the last streetcar ran at 12 o'clock, and we had to catch it and go back home. God saw me go home weeping because my daddy didn't meet us there to buy me a cheeseburger. And God saw me sit at the door. It's just inside the door, that 3936 Denny Drive in Dallas, Texas, in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. God saw me sit there from after midnight till 1, till 2. And God saw my daddy coming in drunk about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm saying before there was ever a tree, before there was ever a mountain, before there was ever a lake, before there was ever an ocean, before there was ever a river, God saw me sitting there, and God saw my daddy come in. God saw my little 100-pound mother come to my 235-pound daddy and say, Effie, your boy was at down on Harwood in Commerce waiting for you. You promised him you'd buy him a cheeseburger tonight. You never showed up. Effie, I don't ask you to love me. I don't ask you to be a good husband to me. I just ask you to be a good father. Your boy needs you. Your son needs you. And my Heavenly Father looked down, and my Heavenly Father saw in that little house, without any indoor facilities at all, an outhouse in the backyard, God saw my daddy take his hand and hit my mother in the mouth. He saw a tooth or two fall out of my mother and saw her sprawl across the floor. He saw her crawl on her hands and knees back to my daddy and hug his feet and look up and say, I love you, Effie. I love you. God saw him backhand my mother and knock her across the room again. Her head hit on the door and a big knot swelled up. And God saw my mother crawl back and put her hands around my daddy's feet and look up and say, Abby, I love you. And God saw me cowed over in the corner. And I said, one of these days, I'm going to get a job. And I'm going to make some money. And I'm going to make a queen out of that woman. I did get a job. I did make some money. But I found I couldn't make a queen out of her because she already was a queen. I just bought a crown to put on her head. That was all. And God saw me the next day at the Fernwood Baptist Church as I walked out that night outside of the church in the back having services in the backyard. And God saw me kneel on my way out and say, he heard me. And by the way, he didn't hear me when I said it. He heard me before there was ever a world, for the foundation was laid. And God heard me say, dear God, if you'll take a poor little ghetto-bound barefoot son of the neighborhood drunk, I'll take you as my Savior. It was done! The great transaction was done! I am my Lord's and he is mine. But God didn't look down and say, hey, I'll declare, I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder if he's going to walk down. I wonder if he's going to get saved. No, sir. God said, I know that all along. He looked down before there was ever a foundation, before a pier hole was ever dug. God looked down and saw, by his foreknowledge, he saw that I would trust him. That isn't all. Before there was ever a world, God saw me, and God knew me. But that isn't all. He loved me. But that isn't all. God chose me. Hold it now. Don't get up and leave yet. God didn't choose me to be saved. I chose to be saved. But God looked down, and with his foreknowledge, he saw me getting saved. He saw that I would trust him, and he saw me getting saved. He just went ahead and took care of the whole transaction all at one time before the world was ever created. He saw me getting saved, and he chose me. Let me read for you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now hold it. Didn't say he predestinated to be saved. It said he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. Did you get that? Before the world was ever created, Bible said, God foreknew me. He predestinated me to someday be like his own Son. But that isn't all. He justified me. I was glorified. The Bible said, the old story I've told you two or three times in the past. My Enoch was saved. My Uncle Roy, one of the best Christians ever knew, was not saved. They tried to get Uncle Roy saved, wouldn't get him saved at all. He wouldn't go to church. Finally, Enoch one day said, Roy, going to have baptized in Bounty Creek Sunday afternoon. Won't be a sermon. Just come and watch the folks get baptized. And that Sunday afternoon, Uncle Roy, a farmer, a sharecrop farmer, just a humble, poor farmer, he said, okay, Octi, I'll go see the folks get baptized if there's not going to be any preaching. She said, I promise you, there's not going to be any preaching. And he said, no invitation, none at all. She said, none. So he went with her down to the side of the creek, the old-fashioned creek baptizing. You young squirts never saw any of it. I wish you could. But baptizing. And while they're watching the folks get baptized, Uncle Roy looked at Octi and said, Octi, he said, if I had some clothes here, didn't have any robes and so forth to get baptized with the creek, if I had some clothes here, I'd get saved and baptized right now. She said, Roy, I brought your clothes with me. Well, bless God. She looked down and said, I'll take the clothes. And the Heavenly Father looked down and he said, hey, I brought a glorified body with me. I've had it all set up for you all these millenniums. I'm saying, before there was ever a world, he saw me, he loved me, he knew me, and he chose me because I was going to choose him as my Savior. He chose me to be conformed to the image of his only Son. All that was settled before the ground was broken or the first pier hole was dug for earth. That isn't all. Before there was ever a world, God offered him. Jesus offered himself for me. 1 Peter 1:18-20. He offered himself for me. He looked down and he saw that man was going to sin. He saw Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He saw all of us lost on our way to hell. And Jesus said, as I said recently, the plan of salvation was the thought of the Son of God. Jesus goes to Heavenly Father and says, I got a plan. Heavenly Father says, what is it? Jesus said, let me go to earth and become a man. Let me be virgin born. Let me live a perfect life. Let me never sin. Then I will not have to pay the penalty for sin. Then let me go to the cross and charge all the penalties, the sins of mankind to my record. And let me stand before you, Father, and you turn your back on me, and I will pay the price for the sins of all mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, that plan was conceived in the mind of Jesus Christ before there was ever a world. That isn't all. Not only did he know me, see me, love me, and offer himself for me before the world was created, but Revelation 13, verse 8 says, he was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means in the mind of God, Jesus Christ went to Calvary before the world was ever created. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Listen, brother, this thing was planned way back, and you say, can you lose it? Can you lose it? What do you mean, can you? Man, I've been saved millions of years. Say, when did you get saved? I got saved August 1937. But in the mind of God, I've been saved millions and millions and millions of years. I can't lose it because he did it. I didn't do it. He did it. In the mind of God, he was betrayed before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was arrested before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was indicted before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was tried before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was convicted before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he was sentenced before the foundation of the world. Bless God. So I said, it's done. The great transaction's done. I can beat that. Twas done. The great transaction, twas done. Not only that, he offered himself. He was slain. He knew me. He loved me. He chose me. He saw me before the foundation of the world. That isn't all. His blood was shed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. God looked down and saw. By the way, you say, well, why? How can you say that? You see, God knows the veracity of his son, Jesus Christ. He's not like you are. When he says, I'll pay a debt, he pays his debt. He's not like you are. He cannot lie. And when Jesus said, I'll pay the price, God said, price is good as paid. Consequently, the Bible said, his blood was shed before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, the blood of Jesus Christ was on the altar of the mercy seat in heaven before the world was ever created. And you say, can I lose it? Oh, brother, can you lose it? That isn't all. We sang about it a while ago. My name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Revelation 17, verse 8. God looked down and saw my mom and daddy and had a boy. And God knew that they'd name me Jack Fraser Hiles. And God said to the recording angel, go ahead and write his name down. And the recording angel said he hadn't been born yet. And God said, go ahead and put his name there. I know what he's going to do. You listen to me. The name Jack Fraser Hiles has been written down in God's eternal book of life before there was ever a sun, moon, star, Neptune, Mars, before there was ever an earth, before the foundation was laid. My name has been written in that book of life. You talk about losing, bless God, it's been there before the foundation of the world. That isn't all. Matthew 25:34 says, I've had a home in heaven for the foundation of the world. You think, God's up there building you a home right now. That home has been built for millenniums. God looked down through his foreknowledge, and God said, let's go ahead and build it. I know he's coming. The Bible says, my name was written in heaven. God knew me. He saw me. He loved me. He agreed to die for me. He was slain for me. He paid the penalty for me. He wrote my name in heaven. and had a home in heaven reserved for me before the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a penury, piddling kind of a salvation that rises and falls on what I do. Bless God, mine doesn't fall. It rises and stays on what He did. All of this before a star twinkled. All of this before a sun rose. All of this before a rose budded. All of this before the moon shined. All of this before a river flowed. All of this before a bird chirped. All of this before a fish swam in the sea. And you say, can I lose it? Can I lose it? What in the world are you talking about? Brother, my name has been there before George Washington, before Napoleon. My name was there before Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. My name was there before there was a Sodom and Gomorrah. My name was there before there was an Egyptian bondage. My name was there before there was a Moses that led the Israelites across the wilderness, the Promised Land. My name was there before the parting of the Red Sea. My name was there before Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I'm saying, brother, it's bigger than what you do. No, sir. Brother, it's what He did. And that's what makes me saved. And since that's what makes me saved, my salvation depends upon His life and not my life. That's why Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, we are saved by His life. You say, Brother Hines, that's what this person said when I used this argument. If I believe that, I'd get saved and go out and sin all I want to. And I said, I do. I take every drink I want to take. I want you to know for the last 62 years, every time I want to drink a beer, I've drunk a beer. Spread that around the country, would you please? You say, Brother House, if I believe, that's what this person said. If I believe that, I'd get saved and go out and sin all I wanted to. I said, if you believe that, you would fall at His feet out of gratitude and say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, Jesus I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. I don't know of any incentive toward holy living and consecrated living more than the fact that before there was ever a world, God settled the whole matter. Twas done. The great transaction was done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me. And I followed on, charmed to confess His love divine. It just seems to me that make you want to serve Him and love Him and obey Him because it's Him. It's not me. It's His works and not mine. It's His grace and His goodness and not my goodness. It's His righteousness and not my righteousness. It's His holiness and not my holiness. Because of that I'm as saved, He is able to keep me. Because from eternity past, the omniscient Heavenly Father, through the telescope of prophecy, looked down and saw it was all going to happen and went ahead and closed the deal and closed the transaction. You think God's going to erase my name? It's been there so long, He's too used to it now. I am His child. Oh, yes, I'm one of His own. A child He'll never disown. Our Heavenly Father.